Well, today we're continuing in our short journey here, or I guess it hasn't been that short, our journey through the last chapter in Hebrews chapter 13, which is made up of a series of proverbial verses that teach about living the way of Christ. And kind of waiting for my PowerPoint to come up. All right, there we go. And so this series has been Living the Way, and today we're talking about living the way of praise. And the verse that this comes from is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, which says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name." So kind of in the spirit of a confession, but maybe a little different type of confession, there are times when I don't feel like I'm a very good Christian. I don't beat myself up over it often, but there are times that I feel like I'm lacking. And one of the times that oftentimes makes me reflect on where I'm really at with God and do I need to do some soul searching is we have a little plaque here on the table. And it says, "God is good." And as I sit in the front row, this stares at me throughout the whole opening part of the service. And we have some folks who use as kind of a call to worship the phrase, "God is good." And the people respond, "All the time." And then he goes, "All the time?" Right. Well, personally, I believe this is true. Absolutely. God is good. But sometimes I don't feel it. And I understand, I'm mature enough in my faith to understand that my faith and my feelings need to have a bit of a barrier between them to talk to each other. And sometimes my faith needs to tell my feelings to get over themselves and to deal with the fact that God is good. But I often tell folks that this for me is a statement of faith more than a statement of enthusiasm sometimes. And I've often felt badly about this. I've often felt that my feelings about God's goodness don't match the words that come out of my mouth, and maybe in some way that's wrong. But then my faith informs my feelings. I truly do believe God is good. But I consider my own life very blessed. But when I see the suffering of some people in this church who have debilitating illnesses, people who are losing family members of the closest kinds, you know, children, spouses, when I consider more widely the vulnerable people around the world that we see all the time in the news that are crushed between the hammer and anvil of conflict and war, historically some of the most, you know, brutal climate events taking place around us, I struggle at times with that phrase, "God is good," all the time, even though I know it's true. But I found the verse today to be interesting for me because of how the author frames the concept of praise. This is a deceptively deep verse here. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name." So let's go through this. It starts out with an interesting beginning. It says, "Through Jesus, therefore." I like the word "therefore." In the English translations, when you look at the word that is used for "therefore," sometimes it's translated "therefore," sometimes it's just "for." But it's an orienting word for me. When I see the word "therefore," I know that I need to pay attention to what came just before that. Because just before that is the source of what follows. It becomes like the centerpiece of what follows. A couple examples. One is in Matthew. We use this a lot because our church mission statement is based on this passage. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.'" The "therefore" in this passage reminds us that it is by the very authority of Jesus Christ, and he defines that authority, All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, and because of this, we are to then go and make disciples of all nations. Another passage is kind of a simpler one is in Romans here, but it's equally profound in some ways. It says, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. In this passage, the therefore defines what it means to love your neighbor. You know, I think a lot of times when we struggle with who is our neighbor, you know, even the chief priests and the Pharisees asked Jesus this question, who is our neighbor, when Jesus said, love your neighbor, and he told the story about the Good Samaritan, if you remember that story, and Jesus ends that story by saying, so who was the neighbor? It reminds us that to love our neighbor isn't necessary to feel warm and fuzzy about them all the time and to try and meet all their needs, but to do them no harm. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. And if we could just live the simple step of doing no harm to our neighbor, we would be fulfilling the law of love. And it sounds simple, but imagine what a different world it would be if everyone lived with a understanding that we should do no harm to the people around us, be they Christians, brothers and sisters, or be they our neighbor. So therefore is a powerful word. And in this passage, therefore reminds us that the source and access point of our praise to God, be it to God the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, is Jesus. We don't praise God in our own strength. We don't praise God because we've earned the right to do so. We praise God because Jesus made it possible for us to stand before God. If you've been here with us for a while, you know as we've gone through this chapter in chapter 13, a few weeks ago, the focus was on the author comparing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to the Jewish Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement was a time when the high priest of Israel would go into the Holy of Holies of the temple and offer sacrifice for his sin and for the sins of Israel. And we're told in the same way, Jesus is our high priest. Only the difference is Jesus is our high priest and sacrifice. And going back into Hebrews chapter 7, this is discussed very deeply. So let's look at it. And also the word therefore is in the passage as well. It says, now there have been many of those priests, speaking of the earthly high priest, who would go in and present sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. This is what he's talking about. There have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. Aaron died. Aaron's sons died. Later on, high priests, you know, they died. So there's many high priests that would go in and make atonement year after year after year for the sins of the priests and Israel. But he says, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, talking about the permanent priesthood of Christ. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. You've ever wondered, what is it Jesus is doing after he ascends into heaven? What is his role in the court of God? It tells us right here, he has a permanent priesthood because he always lives to intercede for them, and we are the them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners. Jesus didn't have to make a sacrifice first for his sins like Aaron did or every other high priest did, and then a sacrifice for the people of Israel. He could just make the one sacrifice. Set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. This is a profound understanding and a deep understanding as to the role of Jesus Christ in our lives yesterday, today, and forever. And from this we learn this truth that all praise is rooted in Christ's finished work. We tend to base our praise based on whether or not I'm feeling good today, or is God worthy of my praise because of the things that are going on in my life today. This is within our flesh, because this is how we tend to measure our relationships in the flesh. How do I feel about this person today? How have they treated me today or tomorrow or yesterday? But how has the relationship been? But this isn't the basis of praise of God. The basis of praise of God is based on his completed work, which Christ has and forever will meet. He meets our needs for intercession. He stands in that place for us at the throne of God. Again, looking at this passage, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one that is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. And this brings us then to the next part of the verse we're looking at today, which talks about, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Because of the eternal intercession of Christ for our sake, we are to respond to this by, in a sense, eternally giving praise to him. In this case, though, because we are in sort of the confines of time and space at the moment, they use the term continually, because that's as close as we can come to doing something forever right now in this life. We continually do it. And so, as response to what Jesus does in his eternal intercession for us, we then respond by continually offering to God the sacrifice of praise. This means that our praise is not based on how we feel. It is based upon Christ's finished work. We praise when the sun is shining. We praise when the storm rages. We praise when prayers go answered. We praise when we feel like God's being silent. We praise when we're happy. We praise when we're sad and disappointed. We actually sing a song like this pretty often, and it's called Blessed Be Your Name. And if you look at those words are someone who is struggling with the good times and the bad times. You know, when I'm in the desert place, I'm going to praise your name. When everything is all well, I'm going to praise your name. Blessed be your name. It's not based on how we feel. It's based on what God has done. The eternal fact that Christ died for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Nothing changes this. Nothing will ever change this. We just celebrated it today with communion. The willingness of Jesus Christ to take upon himself our sin and die upon the cross, so that he is that final sacrifice, the final blood sacrifice once and for all. Nothing can ever change that. My health status doesn't change this. My financial status doesn't change this. My legal status doesn't change this. If there's peace or if there's war, it doesn't change this eternal truth of what Christ has done, the finished work of the cross. If the world systems are just or unjust, it doesn't change the eternal truth of what Christ has done. And this is where the word sacrifice then becomes real, because sometimes praise is hard because we are in our flesh. We cannot get away from the fact that we are temporal people in time and space, and sometimes our circumstances around us affect our soul. If we're feeling good, healthy, if we're feeling bad, if we're unhealthy, it affects us. This is just part of being human. If things are going well for us, we have a tendency to say, I'm going to praise the Lord. When things are going bad for us, it becomes harder. And sometimes praise costs us comfort. It costs us pride. And it can cost us emotional energy. And yet we are told to offer it. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And the word sacrifice here isn't just thrown in there for emotional sake, or just for the sake of finding a word to put in there, an adjective to describe it. You could describe praise in tons of different ways, right? But this author chooses the word sacrifice for a reason. At the time this was being written, the Christian community was under persecution. They were looking around saying, where is God? Why hasn't he come sooner? What's going on around us? Kind of the same as we have brothers and sisters around the world today in that same place. Where is he? Why are we being persecuted? What's going on around us? Where is God? And they praise through that pain. And just in the Old Testament worshipers, they brought physical offerings to an altar to sacrifice. Now we bring the offering of our hearts. We bring the offering of our voices. We bring the offering of our lips. We bring the offering of our lives, even when it hurts. And especially when we are the one who is hurting. And to set ourselves aside and give praise to God is one of the aspects of death to self. We talk about death to self all the time because it's found all throughout the New Testament. Death to self, life in Christ. And death to self isn't just giving up control of your life to God. Death to self is also trusting God, praising God, even when our fleshly self doesn't want to do so. The Apostle Paul is a tremendous example of this because Paul lived a hard life for Christ. And he was warned, he was told ahead of time, as soon as he converted, he was going to live a hard life. There's this guy named Ananias that went to Paul after he was in Damascus. And one of the messages that Ananias was to give Paul is to tell Paul, you will suffer for the name of Christ. And instead of being angry about this, Paul embraces this. In fact, the suffering that he goes through becomes one of the ways he most identifies with Christ and wants to draw close to Christ. Here's some several passages here when he talks about this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And then after he talks about this death to self, being crucified with Christ, he follows up with words of praise. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Those are fruits of his lips where he's praising what Jesus has already done. He loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Timothy, he's writing this from prison and he tells him, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And then again, he then goes into words of praise. The power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. In Philippians, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. And so somehow, and these are words of praise because of what Jesus has already done, to attain the resurrection from the dead. In all these passages, Paul never separates suffering from praise. And this should give us maybe a clue as to how we should approach praise. True praise is this act of sacrifice where we surrender our lives to join with the life of Christ because of what he has done, not because of our present circumstances. And notice in these passages, Paul is very specific in how he praises God. He doesn't say, I've been crucified with Christ and no longer live. Therefore, praise the Lord. Which would be fine if that's what he said, but that's not what he does. He's very specific. And I think this is an important part about praise. And the reason why I bring this up is because I think a lot of times we kind of wonder, what is praise supposed to look like? See, praise is to be deeper than just simply saying, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with saying, praise the Lord. But saying praise the Lord doesn't really tell you anything about the Lord. It's kind of like looking at this picture. Now, I didn't pick this picture because I love it. You know, don't make too much of it. But it's kind of like me saying to you, look at this picture. It doesn't really tell you anything about it. It just gives you a direction, tells you something to do. Look at this picture. Now, the way I say it can maybe give you a sense of how I feel about it. I could say, look at this picture. Or I can say, look at this picture. Right? It doesn't really tell you what I really think about it. It doesn't give you anything, insight into the picture itself. And sometimes when we just say, praise the Lord, well, why? What insight does it have? Why are we praising the Lord? And this deliberate, descriptive fruit of the lips tells us about the character and nature of God, which is why it talks about offer God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. It is deliberate and it is descriptive. And it tells us something about the character and nature of God. Again, if you look at these examples from the Apostle Paul, it tells us about God. From these passages, we learn things about the character and nature of God. God is life-giving. God is loving. God is sacrificial for our sake. God has made it possible for us to live in a higher way. God gives us purpose. God provides grace to live his purpose. God promises us full and eternal life. All of these are descriptive fruits of the lips that come from the Apostle Paul as he praises God in the midst of his suffering. So when it comes to praise, what we say matters. We are to confess his name, which is to say that we confess the character and nature of God. So therefore, your words can be worship. What you say about God can be worship. Your testimony can be worship and praise. Your thanksgiving, even in pain, can glorify God. So may your lips bear fruit. May you confess his name, not just inside these walls, but around the world, among your friends, among your workmates, among the people around you. Describe what God has done. Just to say, praise the Lord, without any kind of context around it, most people not involved with the church have no idea really what you're saying. It doesn't tell them anything about God. Be deliberate, descriptive in your praise of God. And so with that said, if some of you know, last week I offered folks a chance to share some words of praise, and a couple folks took me up on that. And so we're going to take some time to hear from them, and then I'll close up with our sermon. And we'll start out with Andre Lepp, and then we'll have Thaisa following Andre. And if you can grab the microphone from, there it is.
So good morning, everyone. 2 years and 3 months ago, I had a mental breakdown due to overload of work and health issues in the family. And I just couldn't even function. So I had to take a time out for one and a half years. Was my choice to relax, to recover. And I had I went through a healing process. And around about 1 year ago, I started to consider to change my profession. I was working in the logistics, expediting, which is quite a stressful job, but I, in a way, loved it before. But then the pressure was too much from all the sides in the company. Then last year, I was like, what do I want to do? So I started looking for trainings as a bus driver, tram driver, but I was rejected by two companies due to slightly chance of diabetes, which is not yet even confirmed, but they said no. Then in October last year, I was rethinking again everything, and I chose to go back maybe to my profession that I learned, because in a way I still loved it. So I had a few very good interviews, and but still they didn't choose me. And then in May I had a job interview. Very, very good, and they said I am the better qualified, but they chose someone else who can talk better than me. That was frustrating. That was an answer which pulled me down. But then I chose again based on Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, he will make your way straight. In end of June, I had another job interview for a company in Essen. And that day, I was emotionally down. And then the job interview didn't go well, in my opinion. It was the worst job interview since 8 years I performed, from my opinion. A week later, they called through the HR company and said, yeah, we skipped the second round, we chose you. All the other four competitors, we don't take them, we want you. And I was like, whoa, how did that happen? So in my understanding, it didn't fit. And after all, I also had, in the process of healing, I had to understand too that since I am in Christ, I am no longer the provider for the family. Yes, since we live in the flesh, we have to do our part for our living on earth. But I am no longer the provider for the family. God is. I just need to do the part that he wants me to do. And he provided a job which is very good for me, calm job, tasks, calm environment in the office. So I really can focus, learn, and after 3 weeks, the impression of the first day didn't change. I love the job, I like the environment, the colleagues, and I get praised by all the colleagues for how fast, how good I am adapting to the job itself. So this is amazing how God turned for the worst job interview that I had into a very great job. Praise God for that.
So, morning church. I wrote everything down so I don't. So, it actually lasts 2 minutes. So, almost 7 years ago, I arrived in Germany on an au pair visa. From there, I went through many stages, from rushing to complete my German language certificate, applying for temporary permits, then a student visa, then later a work visa. Each step was filled with challenges. The pandemic made also everything even more complicated and delayed. At one point, after finally securing a job, I was unexpectedly let go due to budget cuts. I was just days away from a deadline that could have forced me to return to Brazil. But in the very last week, the Lord provided another job just in time. I also lived in Munich, and during that time, my documents were lost in Dusseldorf. I called them several times, and I have spent hours on hold, once for 3 hours trying to get information. I stood in line at the Elsenderbehörde since 4 a.m. until the afternoon once. Often met with impatience, as some of you might know, and unclear instructions. I lost count of how many times I drove to the office in Munich. There were moments when I felt discouraged, alone, and overwhelmed by the possibility of having to leave. But through it all, the Lord upheld me. He used each trial to humble me and to remind me that I am entirely dependent on Him. There were many prayers, many tears, but in His perfect timing, 2 weeks ago and way earlier than expected, I received my German citizenship. Praise God. By His grace, I have the opportunity to help other Brazilians walking through similar struggles, offering practical guidance, and but most importantly, pointing them to the hope and the comfort in the gospel. So I offer this testimony as a sacrifice of praise to our sovereign God, who governs every delay, every provision, every moment of weakness, and who never forsakes His people. Praise Him. Thank you.
So these are just a couple examples of the sacrifice of praise. And if you notice in both those stories, which I hadn't heard Thais's before, it was through a time of difficulty that they came to that lesson of reliance upon God, the eternal truth of reliance upon Him. And then the action happened in their temporal life. This is how God very often works. And the sooner we learn the lesson of reliance upon Him, the more quickly we can get to that finish line. And sometimes, to be honest with you, the thing that keeps us held up is that we don't recognize the reliance upon Him. We insist that we can do this on our own strength. And we find ourselves frustrated, especially if you're a Christian. Because God wants you to learn that the praise you give Him is based on what He does and what He has already done. So because of Jesus and His eternal place as our intercessor, we have every reason and every aspect to praise. And so because of that, I can say God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You that You are indeed good all the time. And of course, goodness is something that You define. We think we define it, but it's defined by You, and and why what you've done for us eternally. Sometimes we just take that for granted. Forgive us for that. And we thank you for things like communion, which remind us that we should never take for granted what you have made possible in our lives. God, we offer you that sacrifice of praise. We are thankful that you loved us so much that you are willing, according to Philippians, to not consider equality with God something you had to hang on to or to grasp, but you made yourself nothing, a servant. A servant that was obedient even unto death. So that you could be that sacrifice for us once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. And because of that, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you and we praise you. We pray for the people who are in the midst of that struggle now, who are wanting to praise you but find it so difficult because of the hurt they carry. Help them to see beyond themselves and to your cross, burial, and resurrection. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.